starting the beginning of the Perek. Now, as we will see throughout this Mishnah, Beis Shammai does not like Miyan. They don't like Miyan, and they limit it as much as possible, because the Gemara is going to try to explain that the Gemara has, Beis Shammai doesn't like to overuse Miyan. We'll see that clearly. And Beis Hillel has a much broader allowance for Miyan. And that's going to play out in the Mishnah in a number of different ways. We only let Miyan happen to an Arusa after Kedushin, before Nesuin. And the Gemara is going to explain why. Beis Hillel says, no. Even after she's married, the marriage is consummated, she can still walk out of the marriage without any get or any kind of formal divorce, just walk out. We're talking about a rabbinic marriage done by mother or brother. It's interesting that Rashi keeps on saying mother or brother. The other Rishi didn't point out that she could do it herself after a certain age. Ein ela min erusin, only min erusin. Zakti Mishnah Vayter. Bishami Ayman Bapao, Veloy Beyabam. Bishami says she can only walk out of her husband. But if her husband died, again, this is a rabbinic husband, and he died, and according to Bishami, it's after erusin, right? She can't walk out from the Yabam. Once she fell the Yabam, she has to go through the process of waiting till she becomes older and then do chalitza. But she cannot walk out with Miyan if her husband's no longer alive. In this case, her Aris is no longer alive.
Is the Gemara going to discuss the process of Miyan?
The Gemara is going to discuss it, yes. Ba'o, av amez v'lo yimin av avanavl z'yabim eino yetz v'miyan, av atam t'nat yitigdu v'tachlitz. Just to wait till she gets older and then get chalitza. Now, just want to point out that the Rishayna point out, and there'll be many proofs in the Gemara, that when Beis Shammai says only Arusos can do Miyan, it's Lechatchila. But the Eved, Beis Shammai agrees that if Nesua does Miyan, it works. Beis Shammai frowns on Miyan, and therefore says Lechatchila, we tell girls don't do Miyan once they're married. But if she were to do Miyan, it works. And there's many riots in the Gemara that we will have to that point. But remember, this is all rabbinic. The whole concept of Miyan is rabbinic, which we're talking about a rabbinic marriage and a rabbinic Miyan. She can walk out of the Yabam as well, and the Gemara will elaborate on Beis Hillel's opinion. Beis Shammai Ayman Befanav. Beis Shammai says he has to be there when she does Miyan. She has to do it in front of her husband. She has to say, dear hubby, I'm out. But Beis Hillel Ayman Befanav, Shalai Befanav, she can do Miyan even if he's not around. Rashi? No Rashi. Beis Shammai I'm in Bebezin. Beis Shammai says it has to be done in front of Bezin. Well, Beis Hillel I'm in Bebezin or Shaloi Bebezin. Beis Hillel says it has to be, can be done Bebezin and Shaloi Bebezin. And the Gemara is going to talk about how many people you need according to Beis Hillel. Right? Some people say that according to Beis Hillel you need three, but they don't have to be an official Bezin. Some people say according to Beis Hillel you only need two. We'll have to see that later on, but Beis Hillel says you definitely don't need an official bezin. But Beis Shammai is insisting on having mumchim. Can't be done. It has to be done in front of people who are ordained bezin, meaning not regular three people. Again, this is all rabbinic. That bezin writes her that she got that she did miyan, correct?
I'm sorry. Is there any with a grown woman, it's her own engagement. Is there any process for her to break something off?
Again, engagement or erison? No. She's an ageist ish. It's only one way, two ways out. Get a get or kill him. Or he dies. She only goes out two ways as an ageist ish. The get and the mitzvah sabal. And there's stories said about many gdolim, it probably happened to one of them, but the story is quoted about many of them, about a man that refused to give his wife a get. They say it about Rabbi Kveger and others. Rabbi Kveger called him in and said, listen, why don't you give your wife a get? He's not giving his wife a get. Rabbi Kveger said, you should be aware. A woman can go free one of two ways. It's your choice. And he walked out, and he had a heart attack and died. Again, story, it's a legend. I'm not testifying to the authenticity of the story. But yeah, but that's the only, once there's Harrison and an adult woman, or even a small girl, her father accepted her kedushin. It's biblical. There's only two ways to end a biblical marriage.
What's the earliest age this Rabundica?
We'll talk about that. That'll be in the Gemara. How early can she get married with Rabbanon is your question. I think the Gemara will discuss.
How early can a father marry off?
A day old. No, you asked rabbinic marriage. You asked biblical marriage or rabbinic marriage? You asked rabbinic, Baruch Moshe asked biblical.
Why would you bring this in? There's no me in this case.
Right? No, just, no, he just wanted to know information.
What day is the
Thanksgiving? Is this why we combined Ereson and Zuma? Is this why we do it all under the chuppah?
Not that I know of. I don't know what the reason we do it now is. I don't know what you gain in the deal. Meaning, what difference does it make? You can't walk it either way.
Well, I mean, now we have an announced engagement, there's a board.
Anything those are all.
I know, I'm asking, is that why? Just to add some flexibility to the process.
Maybe. I don't know. Most people don't do it. Once upon a time, everybody wrote Tnoim, where they wrote conditions. That's what Tnoim means, conditions. In the engagement, and they obligated themselves with a kinyan to provide and do certain things for the wedding, and to promise to get married to each other.
Before
Harris. And at that point, it becomes legally complicated, halakhically legally complicated, to break that promise that was done with a kinyan.
And they did that for that reason.
Could be. It doesn't make a difference, but there are ways out, but it's problematic. Today, most people do tenoyim at the day by the wedding. They write a tenoyim that say, oh, they're going to get married today. They're getting married in 20 minutes. You know what I mean? And everybody did whatever they were supposed to, and everybody's happy and wonderful and ready for pictures. I mean, it doesn't say that in the thing, but that's basically what it says. I mean, Rav Moshe wrote his own nusach. They used to follow the old nusach of tenoyim, even right by the chasen. And Rav Moshe says, ridiculous. You're promising and this and that. It's right here. You either did it or you didn't. So Rav Moshe wrote a whole nusach for Tanoim that now is used commonly in Tanoim. Rav Moshe's nusach of Tanoim, which just says that everybody fulfilled their obligations and everybody's ready to get married, and it's wonderful. If you don't do it, it's fine also. If you skip it, it's also fine. And real Tanoim, they used to have, I mean, it's still some people still do it. In real Tanoim, each side brought a guarantor to their promise. Meaning the groom's father promises to provide for his son, and the bride's father promises to provide for his daughter, and every side had a guarantor who also gave a kinyan that if the father doesn't pay for it, he will. It was like really a formal monetary, nothing to do with marriage, monetary obligation. But it doesn't happen today. I mean, I can't say it doesn't happen. Rarely happens that they have tenoyim. Again, before, not, I'm not talking about at the chasana. Tanoim used to be done at the time of the engagement.
Right now, we do it. It's
just an extra three kibbutzim, that's all.
Yeah, but the bottom line is, it's a contract, right?
It's a meaningless contract today. You're getting married in 20 minutes. What is the contract?
That you won't walk out at the last moment.
That's all it is?
Exactly.
And then who's paying for what?
It's done already. You either paid for it or you didn't. Exactly.
He means for the marriage.
In the original Tanoim, the father obligated himself to provide for his son whatever he needs to get married. By the time you get to that Tanoim, you either did or didn't.
You're talking about two get married or once you're married?
No, it's two get married.
Is there anything about once you're married?
Once you're married, they're on their own.
I mean, they're on their own. They're never on their own.
Again, you know what I mean? My turn. Amulam Beisilabeshamad. Amulam Beisilabeshamad. The man is the Ktana Philadelphia Vay Pavim. She can do me in 4 or 5 times. She can be married at 7. I'm just giving examples. And at 7.5, say, I don't like this guy. Marry somebody else 2 months later, 3 months later, you have to wait 3 months. Well, not really, she can't be pregnant. And then walk out again. She can do this 4 or 5 times. If we're just picking a number, it can be 20 times. During her youth, she can do me in constantly. Marry, do me in. I don't know who would want to marry her after 3 meons, but that's her problem. But there's nothing wrong in her getting married and doing me in multiple times. That's what Beis Hillel says.
She doesn't have to be a certain age before she can exercise that meon?
It's old enough to get married, old enough to do me in.
As long as she's not 12.
Right, it has to be before 12.
I mean, she has capacity to reject something at age...
8? Why not? I don't want to be married to this guy.
5?
Again, the Gemara is going to talk about age. You usually start 6 or 7. Gemara is going to start 6 or 7.
Come on, Rabbi. Are you right? Come on. I
don't know. I'm a principal in a school, and 6-year-olds complain about their teachers all the time. So instead of complaining about teachers, she'll complain about her husband. He looks at her the wrong way, and she'll walk out.
They're spending so much time with it that it's so hard to
believe. I don't know. You're writing a sefer on Chumash Rifki. Got married at 3. Did you skip that section in your sefer?
Those days were so much more mature than us. No, than Ami.
Okay. Amalam Beishamai, Ein B'nai Tishal Hefker. You can, no. Jews girls are not Hefker. They don't go around doing me in multiple times. Elo, Mema'enes, Umamtenes Achitagdo. Now the Gemara is going to have problems with this line, so I'm going to read it and leave it for the Gemara to translate. She does Mian, waits till she gets like Dila, then the Tamoin, and the Gemara is going to want to know why she's doing Mian now, she already did it, but Tinas didn't get married. Meaning you get one chance at Mian. Going to Beis Shammai, one chance at Mian. You can't do Mian over and over again. Now remember, Beis Shammai only allows Mian by an Arusa, and only one time. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Ein B'nais Yisrael Hefker. Vafilu min ha'erusin leit tamon v'ti aris li'achar. Even erusin, you can't do Mian and get another erusin v'takzu to tamon. Ella, the man is bizarre. The tamtim la'eris la'achitagdu, and she has to wait. She can't get a second eris. She gets one chance as a ktana, and if she walked out, little girl, you gotta wait till you turn 12. For your kedushin gemurim la'teitzoid misheni b'miyun. Tamoim berisha b'tinasei. But Gemara baruch hamiyun b'kvar chadazim that she already did miyun once. Why is she doing miyun a second time? The Gemara will deal with that. So again. Beis Shammai has a very limited mion. It can only be Mina Eris L'chashila, only one time, in front of a bezin of Mumchim, and only if her husband's there and alive. Obviously, if he is there, he's alive. And Beis Hillel says, you can do mion after Nisuin, you can do mion to the Yavam, you can be Mamayin in the Yavam, the husband doesn't have to be there, the Yavam doesn't have to be there, there doesn't have to be a formal bezin, and she can do mion multiple times. There's a whole different picture of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in regard to Mian.
So Beis Hillel's husband dies, so now there's Yavam steps in. If he wants to do Yivam, would that be Mrs. Yivam?
Midrabanan.
Only
Midrabanan. Yeah. He's not married Midrabanan.
Does Shiva
have a husband? She's a Ktana. Ktana doesn't have to shit Shiva ever. That is not chayav and avelus. They do, but they don't have to. She's not a psula anymore. She consummated the marriage. It doesn't make a difference. She doesn't have psula. Is she possible to her kayin? No. She never got divorced. What chalitza? She's a ketana. We said Ksana can have chalitza. Well, the Rabbanan said Ksana can do chalitza. Okay, according to one of the other, Ksana can do chalitza. Not necessary, she can walk out. According to me, too. After chalitza, no. By the way, he divorces her. One of the options of a ketanah's marriage is the husband can divorce her. And then she's a gegusha, midrabanan. What? Whatever the husband was mechuyev in.
Does not obligate him anything. Right?
Me or no. She walks out, she's out. I'm going to read Amar Shmuel. My time at the Beis Shammai. Why did Beis Shammai not allow Yibum Miyot after Nesua? She's a Ktana. It's a rabbinic marriage. Why can't she walk out? So now the Gemara is going to have multiple reasons. We're doing reason number one. Time Mishnei, she ain't tonight been Nesua. Because conditions don't work in the suan, because ain't other mice have been lost to be as nus. People aren't willing to live with a woman as nus. And therefore, being the suan to mine, us to the mamma yesh time in the suan. Because I were worried if we're going to let a girl walk out in the suan, people are going to say, huh? This marriage terminated? Oh, must have been there was a condition in this marriage that wasn't met, and therefore the marriage terminated. Instead of people attributing it, again, I'm just saying what the Gemara is saying. Instead of people attributing it to her walking out with Mian, they will say the marriage never worked because there was a condition that wasn't met. And we don't want that, because conditions after marriage, there's no such thing. Once a marriage is consummated, all conditions are null and void. But when people see a girl walking out without the benefit of a get, they will assume that it was because the condition wasn't met, and therefore walk away saying that you can have conditions in a marriage post consummating the marriage.
Why would they say that if it's a child? It's a little girl.
I have no idea. That's why I knew when I was saying that that would be the question. Why would people say that? But that's what people would say. That's what Beis Shammai says. If we let a girl walk out of a marriage, people will attribute it to the fact that a condition wasn't met and walk away with the wrong halacha. Therefore, we say no walking out of a marriage once the marriage is consummated. Fracti Gemara. So that happens once they live together. What if she went into the chuppah, and right after the chuppah, she turns around and says, I'm out. According to Beis Shammai, she shouldn't do that. It's a nesua. Why? At that point, nobody's going to say there's a condition that wasn't met and make a mistake. It was before Bia. Conditions can't be done. Gemara is assuming. Because once a person consummates the marriage, all conditions are null and void. They never consummated it. So let her do miyun up to the bia, not up to the nisuan. Why is Beis Shammai saying nisuan as opposed to bia? And for the Gemara, because because once a person goes into the chuppah, all conditions are null and void. Because since the chuppah leads to the bia, once they enter that chuppah, all conditions are null and void. And therefore, a second, if she's allowed me and after the chuppah, people will walk away saying that conditions are allowed and after a chuppah, and that would be a mistake in halacha. And it doesn't answer Harvey's question of why people would say it, but that's what people will say.
Well, what's the
one because the Gemara is assuming the concept called Ein Adam B'Lois Oseh B'Lois Sebilas Nos. That once a person enters into a physical relationship with a woman, he's not doing it bent on a condition. Because if the condition's not met, that means obviously he lived out of wedlock. He doesn't want to do that. Now, we had a Tana a few blot ago that wasn't concerned about that. If you remember, Rabbi Shmuel, who said that even if she has children, she can walk out of the marriage. Right? So obviously, Rabbi Shmuel is not concerned about that because he says people could make conditions. But we're going now not like Rabbi Shmuel. And we're saying that once a marriage is consummated, conditions are null and void. So we're afraid if we let miyun, people will say you can have conditions in the suan. And therefore, we ban miyun after the suan and after chuppah as well. Fracta Gemara. Maser av l'shluchi habam ha'yikil l'meimar. There's another form of chuppah. And the third, meaning usually we view chuppah as him bringing her into his domain. We do it by having a canopy and she enters his canopy. But one of the ways they used to do it is that the husband sent messengers to pick up the girl and bring her to him. And as soon as the messengers picked her up, she was considered a nesua, even though she didn't enter his domain, but she went with his messengers. That's considered like entering a domain. Question is, at that point conditions are allowed, so why can't she do me and then? Dr. Gemara, you know what? You're right. But why plug Rabbanim? Rabbanim wanted to go across the board. They weren't going to start differentiating with which kind of nesuin took place. So they said, nesuin no mian. There is a kind of nesua that should be allowed mian. It's too complicated. Nesua no mian. Rashi. My time in the Beit Shammai, the Ami nesua lema memena. Haktani. Fisha ain't tonight my open nesuin shokdaila. Tonight does not help. Vafilu havele tron b'shas kedushin. Achule akle b'shas bia. She was meichu at the time of bia. He was meichu at. The chuppah, or chuppah. The kaila lu kedushin kamoi. They won't know it's because of katnas. Ella, Amri, Tanua have they been nesua. They'll say there was a condition. And they'll make the mistake of thinking that there is a tanai in the marriage of a gedayla. They say it has to be arusa. They're both no longer arusas. The answer is, if you're going to allow her to do mian, they'll say there was a condition, and that's not true. Now the truth is the father is not involved here. He's dead. She's having a rabbinic marriage. But we're using the terminology. Usually it happens biblically when the father gives it to the Shluchei Habaal. What would happen here if the mother gave her the Shluchei Habaal? That's what it means. Av here is just the term that we're using. Inam yasa lemeimar tanai ma'ob b'mesira. Even if you're going to say it tonight works, shaper kamri, it's okay. Sharein kan chiba. There was no act of love which happens by chuppah and by bia. The name of Achle Latinoi the Kedushin. There's Dr. Rashi, Hai Maser Av Lav Davka. It's not the father. The Ilam Shekibel of Kedushin had it been her father, Lenavki Bamiya. She would not go up in Mia. The Av Zaka Bekedushin Bita, the father has a right biblically. They Mia, that would be Saima, Shekachav Achia Mavachia. Mia is only when mom or brother did it. Vachi Kamar. Maser Av Lashluchi Abau, the Kaimelam Ksubas in the Suaninu. In Ksubas, we learned that that's a biblical marriage. When the father does it, when the brothers do it, having the suan rabbinically, why no mian? Like plug Rabbanon made the suan and the suan. Rabbanon made across the board. Yes, Rumesha.
When a girl makes a masira or a kinyan, when she's a katana. It helps me to rabbanon.
Correct.
I'm talking about with a regular
medical member. Kaputais. By mekach it works. We had it, not by karka, but by metalklin. Rabbanon made a takana that a 7 or 8 year old, or in, depending on the sharpness of the kid, can start making kinyanim. Correct.
So a 7 or 8 year old girl. In regards to any kind of kinyan, she says something.
Rabbinically.
Is it offshoot from this?
No.
Why not? I mean, katana, in my opinion, has no seichel. Okay? That's the lumpness by katana.
How about your daughter when she was there? Did she have seichel?
Like I said, just like we said by Rivka, 3 years old, mature, same thing with her. There's nothing right from her. The question I'm saying is, what's the locus why it wouldn't be good to be derisive? Because she's a katana.
I'm listening to you.
So where are we coming up with this kind of stuff? Why would we come up with this kind of stuff?
The Gemara in Gittin says that the reason they made this takana that a 7 or 8 year old can make a kinyan was because they have to exist in this world. And without the ability to sell or do things, it inhibits their ability to buy food. They can't buy food because when they pay for the food, it's gzela. They have no right to make a kinyan. So how could they give the money to the other guy and the guy give them the food? They have no right to give a present. They have no right to give money. So therefore, the Rabbanah made a takana that once a woman, girl, or boy is sharp enough to understand what's happening, we make a takana that his kinyanim should work. For rabbinic things, it works. And that is the power of kinyan. Now, that was one takana. When it came to marriage, marriage is a whole different ballgame. We don't treat marriage like we buy treating buying a donut. Buying a donut, because the girl needs a donut, and we want her to be able to exist, and we want the boy to be able to buy his candy, so we made this takana. But a marriage is a little bit beyond that. So there the problem became that we want girls single. Girls single without the protection of a dad is a dangerous situation. So we instituted this rabbinic marriage for single girls that are under bat mitzvah. It's a different reason and a different halacha. Again, the Mekecho Memker thing was that the Gemara uses the word, I forgot the Lashon HaGemara, but something to the effect that they have to be able to survive. And part of survival is the ability to buy and sell things. They can't walk into that store and buy food. You're putting them in a very, very difficult position. So therefore, they made a takana. And then they also made a takana for marriage for a totally different reason. You look troubled. What bothers you?
Introduction to the parent.
What bothers you?
I don't look at a kid as if it's a little baby.
And the day he becomes a mitzvah, he becomes an adult in your mind?
There's always going to be a time where you have to, like, fly in the road.
A 5-year-old kid is a baby.
I didn't say 5 again. I said
7, the same thing.
I don't know. I think 7-year-old kids can make decisions.
It's a different culture then.
No, I'm not agreeing with that. No, it applies today. A 7-year-old girl today, a 7-year-old boy today, knows how to go into Hungers and pick a donut. Yes, they do. And when you give them $3 allowance and they walk into the store, they know how to decide what to buy. And they make stupid decisions sometimes, and so do adults. Except they weigh $3 and an adult weighs $3,000. That's all. That's not true. Give a 7-year-old girl $2 and say, go buy yourself something at Unger's. She goes in and she knows exactly what she wants. She's making decisions.
What's for $2?
Whatever it is. Again. Whatever it is. All I'm trying to say is, I disagree with you. I think 7 and 8 year old girls and boys make decisions. Yes, they do. And some of them will say, I don't want to buy anything. I want to save my money. She was like, you know, I mean, at 3, she was able to do all this. I'm surprised you didn't marry her off at 3. She was so mature.
Who's at dinner house? Mix up.
I have a Mechatanista, one of my Mechatanistas. Her older son had the bris, the sandig was the Satmar Rebbe, the Divriyel. And the kid relieved himself, urinated on the Rebbe at the bris. So the Rebbe said, this kid is audacious, he's going to be a rich person. That's what he said. Okay. So this happened at the bris. When the kid was 7, he got money. And his brothers got money, everybody got an allowance, whatever they gave them. And everybody went to buy things, and this kid said, no, my money is going to get more money. And his mother got alarmed that this guy is too much into money. So she had her husband go back to the Satmar Rebbe and say that she doesn't want her kid to be a rich person. She wants her kid to learn. So the Satmar Rebbe said, okay, I'll take back that bracha. And the guy is an uneven engine today. He's poor like a church mouse. And meanwhile, he says, learn, he's a major Talmud Chacham. So the Satmar Rebbe rescinded the bracha and gave him a bracha. He should be a Talmud Chacham, which is what the mother wanted. And when she heard that kid said, my money is going to get me money, she said, oh, no. Okay, so that's what happens. You know, the kids are smart at 7 or 8. I disagree with you. They're very smart. Come to school. Watch these kids engage in illegal business transactions all day. You're not allowed to sell in school. Nobody's allowed to sell anything in school. And just watch what's going on there.
Always the kid with the locker, right?
Kid that sells things, sodas, and candy at 3 times the price. You know what I mean? There's the kid's 9 years old and he's in business. Dr. Gemara Baita, that's reason number one. Because people will make a mistake and think there's a condition in the marriage. Rabbi Rejaisim Dabri Tavayo, they say a different reason. Time in Beis Shammai, Fishain Adam Aistab Bilasabilas Nos. Beis Shammai said, people won't want to marry Kanas if they can walk out of the marriage. Because in their mind, they will say, I lived with this girl out of wedlock. They didn't. Rabbinically, it was okay. But if a girl can walk out after she's in the sewer, people will say, why in the world am I going to marry an 8-year-old girl when she can walk out of me and I ended up living business? No, you didn't. But in the minds of the people, this is going to be a deterrent to what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to get 8-year-old girls married, and if we give them the right to walk out after the suing, nobody's going to want to marry them. Because in people's eyes, they'll feel used. That they lived with a person business, and this girl just walked. Now it's not. Because it was a legal marriage. But in perception of the people, it's like this. The raya is, she just walks out without a divorce. How can that be a marriage in people's eyes? So Beis Shammai said, you know what? We're not going to let her walk out. We want to encourage people to marry Tanis, not discourage people from marrying Tanis. But that's only once they live together. But after chuppah, nobody's going to say there was a snus. So the Gemara leNichalei that having chuppah the Isura. Again, people will feel used. They went under the chuppah, and she walks out, they'll say, what just happened? I just had a chuppah with a girl, wasn't legal, and she walked out? Frek the Gemara, Masa Rav L'Shluchi Abam HaYikilam Eimer, there won't be a feeling of that. So the Gemara life will grab on him. Beisil, what does Beisil respond to that? L'chayra Beis Shammai has a good time now. The Tanai, you can tell me Beisil says people won't have that perception. But in his, don't people feel used? Like they live with a woman without the benefit of marriage? Doesn't come right now. Kibin Dikin Kedushin Uksuba, Beisil feels that people understand this was a marriage. We had Kedushin, we had Uksuba, we went through all the formalities. The fact that she walks out will not make people think that the marriage was a sham.
Even after Bia.
It's perception. It's totally perception. Beis Shammai feels that if a girl can walk out of a marriage, the husband will think that this whole marriage was a sham. And therefore says, why in the world am I going to marry a young girl if this whole thing is a made-up business? And Beisil says, it's a marriage. The riot's a marriage. We had a chasana, we had music, and we had pictures. We had everything.
Avoid her because nobody wants to be rejected by the child. That's embarrassing. I'm an adult, and this is a kid, and here I agree to marry her, and this little kid rejects me. That seems to be more humiliating.
So I hear what you're saying, but the Gemara doesn't say that. I don't know why, but the Gemara doesn't say that.
But he agrees that by Kedushin, that me and the Salam.
Yeah. That would happen by Kedushin as well. These things are only after the suing. Ratchet.
How we're seeing now that a 7-year-old girl is much more mature than you think.
No, but again, she's still rejecting him.
Maybe just because I find it offensive. It's culturally bizarre to me.
I mean, like right now, and I just read somewhere, someone told me, someone stole a girl, like she was 12, okay? Or 9, or 10, stole her. He's arrested, stealing her.
Yeah, today you go to jail for these things,
no,
correct.
I'm saying, so
there's no marriage in America under a certain age.
Really?
Yeah. You can't marry minors.
18?
I don't know about, I don't think it's, I'm not sure. Because there are girls that get married under 18. But.
Right.
I don't know. Honestly, I never investigated how old the girl has to be to get married.
They need parents' permission for that.
Right.
Different states have different laws, but you need parents' permission under a certain age.
I don't read that stuff.
That parents' permission can make a difference in state law as well.
That's true.
What is it?
But it doesn't permit you to marry a
13. No, it doesn't permit a minor, no. Absolutely not. With parents' permission, it's absolutely not. You go to jail for this today.
It's called pedophilia.
Right.
Well, human trafficking is terrible.
Nobody's saying these things don't happen, but that's not legal.
The concept of perception, you've had that before, is that something desired or because people do wrong?
What do you mean?
What's perception? What is the fear of
perception? In this case, it's that he won't want to do marriage. It'll drive him away. When a guy is offered a shidduch with a 10-year-old girl, he's 16, she's 10, and he says to himself, "But if she has the ability to walk out after the suing, I will feel that I've lived in this. I'd rather not marry a 10-year-old. I'll marry a 12-year-old. Now, what we'll do, what that does, is that 10-year-olds won't find husbands. And the perception will create a reality of difficulty to marry off Ketanus.
It's not just his perception, but the world will think that it's not a good idea to marry Ketanus.
But all future husbands will think. People who are in the parsha of getting married will be afraid to marry a Ketana, because if she walks out a year later, they'll feel like they lived a year instead. So why should they do this? They'd rather marry a 12-year-old.
They don't want to discourage, right?
Correct. That's Beisham I say. Correct. This feeling that he was doing znus discourages him from ever getting into the relationship. However, when he's told that as an Isua she doesn't do mian, okay. So then this is real. And Beis Hillel said, the fact that we do a Kedusha and a Ksuba makes it real. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Pishen Adam, Rabbanan Tekinu Nesu and Ketana, Kedai Shle Yindugu Aminig Hefker. We don't want her around as Hefker, because I'm going to come on Becheresh and Asa. A Cheresh that marries. V'yamet Miyana, V'mani V'lein Nasu, nobody will marry her. They know them, right? So Lassus, B'lassus, B'lassus, B'lassus. Person doesn't want to live and then find out he lived out of wedlock. Mikara tekan to the rabbana that will ruin the takana of the rabbana. The isura the bilisnos. Master Rab the kaimelin the suin the new kavasim in the suin the rabbana have a mysterious ach in the suin. Rashi repeats it again. We're not having a father here. It's the brothers. The beishamel emimina the milsu the psika kamer. They said emimana mela rusis ma'ikel emimer la bilisnos evil emimina. Nothing happened. The answer is loyplug rabbana. Rabba Amar, a third reason. Now we're moving to reason number three of why Beis Shammai does not allow Miyam Bayar Nesuas. Hainu Tami to Beis Shammai. I'm sorry, I skipped. Rapapa Amar, I take it back. Reason number three, Rapapa Amar. Time to Beis Shammai Mishumperi, the time to Beis Shammai Mishumperi. Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai have the same reason, opposite ends of the spectrum. Beis Shammai says, a shit can marry, walk out after Nisuan. The husband's never going to take care of her property. He's going to say to himself, I'm going to invest money in my wife's property. I get the pay risk. And then she walks out. No way am I going to put a penny into that. If she has the right to walk out of me like that and take back her lands, I'm going to invest money to improve her properties? No way. I'll let them go. Why should I invest money if my investment's not secure? She could have inherited her father.
And that inheritance
belongs to her.
Already.
Yes.
What's the problem?
Now she gets married, her husband gets the pay risk. Now, he says to himself, I'm going to go and fix up this field so I can get more payers, and then she'll walk out on me.
Who'll you pay back?
Yeah, go collect.
Where?
Nowhere, that's exactly it.
Why not?
Because the halacha is a husband investing in his wife's thing, he doesn't get paid back.
It was a
mekach tzar. No mekach tzar.
No, it was a
mafreya. That's not true. She walked out. She was married.
No, mafreya is no good, no.
Who said?
I did.
No, encouraging her to marry her? Well, encouraging him to marry her? Isn't that like bait for him?
Again, reality on the ground is reality on the ground. When he marries the girl, he will get to use her papers. We don't want, but if she can walk out, he's not going to take care of her fields.
Therefore,
we said,
Beisham makes it more secure so that she can't do mian. That's why Beisham
says no mian. It's to make it makes her feel secure, yeah. And he's willing to invest money into her land.
Why won't we get back?
Because when a husband does things in a wife's field, he doesn't get it back.
But
it's not with a Freya. I don't know who told you this. You made something up. No, he's saying they were never married. It's not true.
Yes,
they were.
But therefore, what? She's
going to
collect him then? She's
going to
collect
him.
Yeah.
How? I don't know who told you that the marriage is null and void, Lamafreya.
You mean to tell me where this minyan
is? It's
like a get?
It's a rabbinic way of breaking up the marriage. Exactly.
But what about harvest time? I mean, I don't quite understand. He may not build the log cabin, but he's going to harvest the fruit and sell it.
Again, will he prune the trees? Will he do? Not true. She might walk out on him before he gets his results.
I just don't understand the cost benefit analysis here. It's like if he has cash right there. As you
again.
Is there a difference of conditioned toes and miyun?
Again, let's just finish. And Basil says just the opposite. The Gemara explains. He'll eat as much as he can and won't invest anything. So therefore, we're hurting her. Beishamai says, Beishamai says, if we let her do miyun, he's going to eat as much fruit as he can and not try to have any longevity, whatever the word is,
longevity
to this field. Because she might walk out next year. Why am I going to not eat as much this year to save it for next year? Meaning he's not going to do anything that will enhance it long term. He'll take advantage of short term. Because the stripe says, we'll make the climb if she can walk out. It's an incentive for here to prove it. If I want her not to walk out, I'm going to invest in her. She should see, her relatives will see that I care about her. If not, they're going to say he doesn't care about you. So Basil thinks that the financial incentive for him is to invest, that way she won't walk out. Beishamai says, if she can walk out, he's going to say, let me eat whatever I can as long as I can. I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen 2 years from now because she can walk out.
But then as soon as she turns 12, she can't walk out anymore.
Okay, but there's 3 years left till 12. Again, meanwhile, he's going to eat up her fruits and the fields will not be improved the way they're supposed to. Fields are supposed to be taken care of. And he's not going to take care of them. Yeah. And Basil says he'll take care of them because he wants to make sure that they advise her to stay. Everybody's using the same thing the opposite way.
That she should not want to do the end.
Exactly. Because her relatives are her coaches. And she's speaking to her sister on the phone all day. And her sister says, oh, you got a terrible husband. There are no stupid questions, by the way. I didn't say that.
Beisimil's reasoning and there's Beis Shammai's reasoning, obviously, throughout. We're talking about a lineage of people. I don't know how we deem them, a school of people, what if you're in Beis Shammai and you just don't agree with some of this stuff? I mean, this is a matter, a lot of this is a matter of your own reasoning and your own thought process. How does this thought process apply to an entire group, a school of yeshiva? What if you just, this doesn't make sense? I would be in Beis Shammai almost always. But what if you're in Beis Shammai and you think like me?
I think what's happening is here, we're writing the laws of the Takana of Mir. This is being written down now as law. Beis Shammai wrote the laws of Mir, Beis Hillel wrote their laws of Mir. There were different laws of Mir. If you lived in Beis Shammai's area or wherever, you listened to Beis Shammai's laws of Mir. If you listened to Beis Hillel, you listened to Beis Hillel's laws of Mir. Now when they wrote the laws of Mir, they figured out what works. So the Gemara is saying, in Beis Shammai's thought process, this is what the average Joe would do, in case she can walk out. Therefore, we're going to write into the law that she cannot walk out. And Beis Hillel says, when they sat down and their thought process was, no, the average Joe will be more apt to improve if we let her walk out. And therefore, in their laws of Mian, they did this.
Do we know who the actual persons were in the various houses?
We have some of the names, but not most of them, not
known. So, this is obviously not done by Shama. This is done by a group.
His students. After he died.
Because his Mahalas. They're Mahalas.
Yeah, they fought. Shammai and Hillel disagreed, I believe, in 3 or 4 cases in their lifetime. And Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagreed in hundreds of cases.
And did this disagreement track? Did this just go back and forth over a period of centuries? Is that how it worked?
I think it went on for about 100 and some years. There were 2 schools of thought, the Beis Shammai school of thought and the Beis Hillel school of thought. We have Talmida, we have people that live after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. Shammai and Hillel lived 100 years before the Korban. And we have Talmida, we still have people of Beis Shammai around right after the Korban. So I don't know how much longer than that it lasted.
If you were a Talmida of Shammai, could you switch camps?
Theoretically you could. But again, what I'm saying now is totally speculative. The Gemara says that the Beis Shammai's people were sharper, and Beis Hillel's people were more. The Shammai had sharper people, and Beis Hillel had more people. And that's why, when they voted, Beis Hillel always outvoted Beis Shammai, except for 18 cases. And the question always was, does the vote make a difference because Beis Shammai is sharper? So Bosco came out and said, Achrei Rabin Lahatais, go by the majority. That taught us that when it's a question of more or sharper, more wins.
What about the other rules? When you find somebody smarter, then you have to. If there is somebody smarter, you have to go.
Not if it's against the Rive. Again, it depends if the Rive is competent, you know what I mean? Not a Rive of ignoramus, as they still were, they still. Fine, we'll continue with the show.